You have to understand God so that you will know how to worship Him. So that you'll understand His mercy. People don't understand God's mercy. You see that some people are on their way to hell. But from the foundation of the world, God saw all of us going. And He decided that I know two groups of people there. If I give them a way of escape, some will believe, some will not. Since there are some that will believe, then it activated His attribute of mercy. Since they will believe, if I give them the opportunity, why don't I make a way of escape for them? In the beginning, therefore, was the thought. The thought of how He will save that group that we believe His offer for salvation. Through foreknowledge. Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. In the mind of God. To save those who we believe. It is those who He knows that believe that He wrote their names in the book of life. That is why your name is in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And it is for those whose names are in the book of life that God gave us His only begotten Son. Hallelujah. And salvation looks as if it is for all. If it is for all, then why are all not receiving it? Hallelujah. Now, He said, come to me, all ye that labor. He's not talking to everybody. He's talking to His own. Hallelujah. He said, all that the Father has given me will come to me. And I will nowhere cast them out. He said, and He will lose none of them. They are called God's elect. They are the chosen ones. Many are called, but few are chosen. Praise the Lord. You are not called because you come to church. Because there are people that are coming to Bride Assembly, yet they are living the worst sin life of sin than those unbelievers outside. Oh yes. Fornicators are answering me amen now. Oh yes. And it's shame on you. It is because you know where you belong. That's why Apostle Peter said, make your calling and election sure. Amen. Hallelujah. Our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So, if you are still living a sinner and you are still living a sinful life, then you are not yet a Christian. You have not benefited from the cross on Calvary. And so He said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So it looks as if the salvation is for everybody. Then He made it clear in John chapter 6, verse 44 or so. He said, no one can come to the Father. To the Son. Except the Father, which has sent me, draw you. He said, no man can come to me. But He stood. He said, come to me. But He said, no man can answer that call except the Father that sent Him draw you to Him. So why did He draw me and did not draw my Muslim, same father, same mother that are dying as Muslims? Did I go looking for Him? No. For knowledge. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that you will understand salvation. So that you will appreciate Him if you are saved. So that you will understand grace and you understand mercy. So I see a reason to fall in love with Him and live a life pleasing before Him. Praise God. If you are happy to be a Christian, clap your hands for Jesus.
God bless you. Among these three questions that I answered, these three only, any confusion, any question on it? Is anybody, including those of you online, you want to ask any further question, the number is on the screen, you can call.
Good day.
God bless you.
In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God. Why was Jesus Christ always referring to God as his Father? Father, Father, Father.
Did I say he didn't have Father? Did I say so? So why are you asking the question? He had a Father. That's why he's referring to his Father. But that Father is the great eternal Spirit that dwell in him without measure. That is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Thank you. The reason he kept saying, my Father, so that you will not limit God to that human being that lived there. It's greater than that. He was just there to get you and me back to himself. For the Bible says, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Thank you very much. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Daddy, please, this Revelation chapter 4, verse 3. Based on our former place, we're made to understand that Jesus sat on the throne of his Father.
Yep.
And the throne, according to this Revelation chapter 4, verse 3. Okay, sorry, let me start from verse 2. He said, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne.
Was it two that sat there, or one?
He said one.
So who is the one that sat there?
But based on what you explained through the first, second question you answered,
yes.
You say that based on the scripture you read also, we saw it in the scripture anyway, but I'm just trying to, you know, before we were talking.
How many people did he see sitting down on the throne now?
It's one.
Isaiah chapter 6. How many people did he see when his eyes were open after the death of King Uzziah? How many did he see sitting on the throne? One. Did God say he will not share his glory with anyone?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. What is a throne? As spoken there, remember that Jesus Christ has three ministries. He came as a prophet, and he has given the word. Now he is a high priest in the order of Melchizedek, sitting on the seat of mercy, making intercessions for you and for me, until the last elect comes in. Then he will have finished his mediatrix ministry, and now he will now come as a king to rule for 1,000 years on earth. But the Bible says that he is now sitting in the throne with his Father. That simply means authority. He has been given full authority. Can we read? Can we read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again? Verse 25, 26, 27, 28. Hallelujah. Verse 25, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For he must reign, that is Jesus Christ, till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, verse 27. For he has put all things under his feet. God has put all things under the feet of Jesus. That is the authority. But when he said all things are put under him, it is clear, manifest, that he is accepted. We did put all things under him. Let me read it again. But when he said all things are put under him, it is clear that the person that put the authority under him
is not among the things that are under his authority. Hallelujah. That is the meaning of verse 27. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now, remember, he said, I and my Father are one. And he said in another scripture, he said, the Father judgeth no one, but he has committed all judgment to the Son. So he is the judge. In the white throne judgment, he will be the one to judge. He is a savior, he is also a judge. He is a consuming fire. So you have to understand it that way. God bless you. Yes.
Praise the Lord, church.
Yes.
God bless you, sir. Please, I want just a little clarification on what you just told us now.
Yes.
I believe from what you said that God did not regret the action of both the men and women that failed. And actually, to my understanding, he cursed them. Then if actually he did not regret, then why did he curse them?
He cursed who?
Adam and Eve.
Romans chapter 8 verse 20. Romans chapter 8 verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same creature in hope. Your question is, why will he curse him? Praise God. Let's read again, Romans chapter 9. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 19. That is your question. Romans chapter 9, verse 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? That is what you are asking. Eh, brother?
Yeah.
That's your question. That question is already in the Bible. Nay, but O man, verse 20, who art thou that replieth against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath, fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory of the, on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he had called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And then he explained further and further and further of where he said, it is not he that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. So your question is, why did he curse them? Praise the Lord. Now, when God created man, there is something he has put in us. Every man, the ability or the freedom to make choice. Every one of us, and he leaves that and tells you to exercise your freedom of choice. And he tells you, if you take this way, see blessing. If you take this way, see curse. And he left that choice with Adam and Eve. And when they took the wrong one, the one they chose, it was part of the repercussion that brought the curse upon them. Thank you. The next person.
Yeah, good evening, sir. I want to ask...